Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Seth Reed. Seth is right now he's a student in the nurse anesthesia program at the University of Pennsylvania Graduate School of Nursing in Philadelphia. But at the time the project this project was completed, he was a nurse in the Acuity Adaptable Critical Care Unit at Geisinger Medical Center in Danville, Pennsylvania. And he wrote this article, which is Champions for Central Line Care, with colleagues Alexandra Brock, who is a clinical nurse specialist, and Tyler Anderson, a nurse, who are both also in the Acuity Adaptable Critical Care Unit at Geisinger Medical Center. So Seth, welcome and thank you for taking a few minutes to talk about your article.
Thank you very much for having me today to discuss the article.
And as many of you listeners will know, is that acute care hospitals in the United States report many central line-associated bloodstream infections, and indeed this is a problem that many hospitals are trying to deal with. And this article describes a team approach that Seth and his colleagues instituted for reducing CLABSIs, as we'll call them, central line-associated bloodstream infections. So, Seth, give us a little background, if you will. What you did have a process in place where you had one champion, but then you decided to go to a team approach. Could you explain a little bit about what was the impetus for that?
Yeah. On the unit that I was working at the time, we had a single champion who was assigned to monitoring central line care, any central line associated bloodstream infections that came about, and focused on being a liaison and an educator for staff for anything that had to relate to central line care. Mm-hmm. This had been in effect since approximately 2010, and March 2011, we saw a spike in our infection rate. From 5 months prior to that, we hadn't had any central line infections. And starting in March 2011 and going through March 2012, our rate increased up to 3.57 per 1,000 catheter days, which is a pretty substantial rate. In March 2011, we looked at this, looking at the central line infections with chart reviews, and we decided maybe in order to conquer the task of reducing our infection rate, implementing a team approach may be more effective.
Mm-hmm. And so you had one person who was doing this, but this wasn't all that this person was doing, correct? They had other duties as well.
That's correct. The champion was a full-time staff nurse, so their primary job was to work full-time hours, which was 36 hours a week on this unit. Most work 3 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to those full-time hours, the nurse was also responsible for monitoring central line care, taking care of any infections that came about. They would perform chart reviews and try to identify anything that may have contributed to the infections. And they also had to ensure that staff was educated on everything from new products to any changes in evidence-based guidelines. So it was quite a daunting task for a single nurse to take on.
Yeah, it sounds like a very busy person. So I can see the rationale then for doing the team. So how did you go about setting up a team and deciding, you know, who's going to be on the team and just how to implement that particular process?
Well, the first thing we did, I sat down with our clinical nurse specialist at the time, Alex, and also we sat down with the management team, and we just decided that we'd start off by looking at the problem and really identifying if we could see if that what was causing the issue. Unfortunately, with chart reviews, with discussing with the infection control department, we really could not find one consistent thing that was the problem. There was some inconsistency with central line care with staff. Not that it was a very high level of inconsistency, but we did find that not all the time were dressing changes being conducted the same. After we sat down, we decided that having more than one individual taking care of all of these things at once was going to be maybe the best way to begin tackling this problem.
Mm-hmm. And so how does the team work together? Are they one person per shift, or they rotate from week to week, or?
So what we eventually did is we decided to make the core number 3. We have one who, in order to just have somebody who is the leader, just to ensure that there's somebody who ultimately could communicate with other interdisciplinary staff and just kind of serve as the head of the team. We had a champion team leader, and then we had two other champions who worked together. And what we did is we made sure that one of those champions would be on night shift. Mm-hmm. So in addition, each of the champions were also nurses working on the unit. But because now we had 3 individuals working, we allotted time for each of them to dedicate to just caring for the champion team roles. Mm-hmm. So now that we had a nurse on night shift, we had a nurse on day shift, they could interact with staff and they could take time educating staff and doing rounds, which were a component of our champion team approach as well. Mm-hmm. And we can cover all shifts with that.
Mm-hmm. And normally when you try and do any change, there's always a couple of bumps along the way that you think, when it's all done, you think, gee, in retrospect, we might have done this that would have made things easier. Were there any issues like that that came up that you felt that you had to kind of switch around what you plan to do or do a little tweaking of your process?
Initially, we thought that we would make the core number 4 for the number of champions. We found that it wasn't very feasible. It was difficult to get 4 champions to consistently occupy the position. So we decided that 3 would be a sufficient core number. And from our outcomes assessment and from assessing staff competency, we found that that was an effective number. The other thing, too, was we found that it was very difficult. We decided initially that we'd educate all staff on a one-to-one basis during the rounding process. Mm. But because they were also conducting patient care at this time, it was often difficult to get to them to a point where they could sit down for 5 to 10 minutes and go over the education and discuss any new interventions that were coming about in the unit. So in order to facilitate reaching everybody, we kept a list of who were all who we all interacted with, who were all educated on each round. Then we focused on reaching those nurses on following rounds. Mm-hmm. And if they could not be reached, regardless, we still took all of our educational materials, we emailed them to all of our staff nurses, and we also printed a copy and placed it in each individual staff nurse's mailbox. Mm-hmm. Now, certain interventions needed a one-to-one basis, so in that instance, we ensured that we continued to be persistent until everybody was reached.
Mm-hmm. Was there one aspect of the central line care that seemed to, in your mind, be the one that perhaps people needed most help with?
I think that the most important aspect was really just raising awareness initially and really getting staff to buy into that there is a problem, because mm-hmm. unless it's your patient directly or unless you are directly involved in an adverse incident, oftentimes even being in a close unit, nurses don't see that as a problem. So the first thing, the most important, is to really raise awareness. Mm-hmm. I think that, and then in addition, including a multidisciplinary approach. We worked very closely with anesthesia personnel because they often inserted the lines, which would, after they placed the lines in the OR or in the pre-op holding area, then we were caring for those lines postoperatively, mm-hmm. and then the infections may come 48 hours, 72 hours afterwards. And in that instance, often anesthesia doesn't get a chance to ever see the outcomes of the lines. So mm-hmm. getting other units, other areas to really buy into understanding there's a problem too. And also, I think really just hammering down the basics of central line care, using evidence that has been produced by expert consensus panels like the CDC's central line bundle principles, or using the CDC's evidence-based guidelines for the prevention of catheter-associated infections. Really just using basics like hand hygiene, cleaning the hub of the central line for 15 seconds with alcohol before accessing it, keeping a clean, sterile dressing, and removing unnecessary central lines, and bringing it up every day in rounds to really say, does this patient need this central line? All of those basic principles, I think, are the most important before you get into higher-level interventions to try to prevent infections.
And your results were pretty good.
Yeah, I'm the fact that we didn't conduct an actual, it's not actual research. I can't say that it's a cause and effect relationship, but we used as an outcome measure, what we did is we just used central line infection rate. So before implementation of the Champion Team program from March 2011 to March 2012, the 13-month period, our infection rate was 3.58 per 1,000 catheter days. And then beginning April 2012, throughout April 2014, that's after the implementation of our Champion Team program, we dropped our rate all the way down to 0.336 per 1,000 catheter days, which was, and that was actually only two central line infections over the 25-month period. So in addition to that, we also assessed staff. On our rounding, we did assess staff compliance. We assessed whether or not our interventions seemed to be effective, whether or not staff were buying into really changing our practice and implementing our new central line policy. But we used this outcome just as a guide to see if we're really making progress. It really did seem to be an effective measure to us.
And judging from, because you did something that's very important that a lot of people who send us articles about projects they've implemented don't do this, but you did. You looked at a cost analysis in terms of, you know, what it actually costs in terms of perhaps additional paid hours for the team, and yet what you saved per central line infection. And I thought that was a very good point in the article that a lot of people, as I said, don't do, and that's important to do these days.
Yeah, and I think that is one thing that is becoming more and more important in healthcare, and more aware for direct patient care providers to really realize the single central line infection can cost upwards between approximately $23,000 to $29,000 per incident. And with a 12 to 25% mortality rate, this cost is becoming more important, because although it may not seem, you know, we can just throw extra money at this single incident, people don't always see like that really matters. But ultimately, healthcare resources are limited, and that's other patients who could have received life-sustaining care where now there are not funds because of a preventable incident.
Well, it was a great project, and your write-up was very clear, and I think people who read it certainly will be able to see exactly what you did and why you did it, and I think it's a great article that will be beneficial to many people who are trying to deal with this problem. So I'm very happy that you gave it to AJN, and people will be able to read it online or in print or on the iPad, so I hope they do, and perhaps they'll contact you for more information.
Well, thank you very much. We were very happy to have this out there for other people to use, and I really do hope other institutions take this as maybe a starting point, just some motivation to really dedicate the resources to having these champion teams, and not even just for central lines, but things like ventilator-associated pneumonia or pressure ulcers. I think that investing into something like this will really save money and save lives in the long run. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate having this opportunity to give this out to others.
Well, thank you, Seth, and thanks again for taking the time to do this. And I'll look forward to getting some feedback from our readers on the article. So thanks again.
Oh, thank you as well.